ओम शांति, गुड इवनिंग। इन दिस स्पिरिचुअल ऑर्गेनाइजेशन वी हैव फोर सब्जेक्ट्स एंड ईच सब्जेक्ट एज ए स्टूडेंट इन ब्राह्मण लाइफ इज वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट एंड ईच सब्जेक्ट हैज इट्स इंपॉर्टेंस। Without one, the other cannot be understood or cannot be imbibed, or we feel very incomplete. So each of the subjects are very important. Like the knowledge Baba gives, is very very high, the most elevated ones. And this knowledge includes everything. People in the world wish to have peace, they wish to have happiness. Even when we all came to Baba, we all came to have peace of mind. We all came here to experience happiness. But what's more, much more beyond peace and happiness? Is that all? Just peace and happiness? What else as a Brahman we need to achieve? Sorry? Become pure. That's all right. And what is more? Baba always talks about experiencing bliss. The state of bliss is very, very fantastic. Fantastic experience. Being lost in love of God, to have that very, very powerful stage of forgetting the body, bodily relationships, bodily world, my own old sanskars, detach myself from everything, me, Baba, and none others. To have that powerful stage, to have the experience of being lost in unconditional, divine, complete love of God, which is so rich. And to have that life of filled with knowledge, the life that is filled with all divine virtues, the life that is very pure, that's bliss. And it's a very, very elevated experience. Very high. People always talk about bliss like, you know, no words to explain. Because it's absolutely out of world experience. And many a times Baba also talks in the Murli. One can experience this bliss when we have balance. If life is imbalanced and I sit here to experience bliss, I can't get into that state of experience. And basically our aim here to experience. We talk a lot, we listen a lot. But what about experience? When it comes to real taste of it, we have read cookbooks, recipes, you cook this and you get that and you make this and you put this so much and that so much, and mix it thoroughly and put it aside for 20 minutes and then take it out and put it in the oven and blah, blah, blah. Many times we have been reading this, you know, the recipes. But yes, I have tried to put all those ingredients, stir it up and put it aside for a long time. And also put in the oven. But there is something wrong that it doesn't come out well. Either temperature is more or some ingredients are less or more. There is no proper proportion. Something is wrong. It's not a, you know, very well balanced type of mixture of the fire or the right time or whatever. But every time I put the right ingredients, but I put it in the oven, when it's time for me to take it out of the oven, either it's half cooked or it's burnt or something is less. Maybe sugar is less or salt is less if it's salty ones, and there is something lacking, and it's not very tasty. Yeah, it does taste because, you know, you've put very good ingredients, but it's not a desired taste as it has been explained and shown in the cookbook. In the same way, even though I don't have that deep, intense, you know, the totally detachment and being engrossed and lost in God's love and to have that experience of being with one and the bliss, I would definitely experience something or the other every time I sit in meditation. But even without the balance, we still experience something or the other. Because God is the bestower, He wouldn't let us be, you know, be an empty hand. He would give us something. But am I experiencing for which I have actually come here for? My purpose of being in the spiritual life. My intention or my aim of coming here into this knowledge, am I getting what I want? Am I satisfied with what I'm getting? Yeah? We are happy that, yes, we have a nice life. God has given me a good life. God has chosen me among millions, one among millions, a handful among multi-millions. That's no doubt. But after He has chosen us, am I doing what am I supposed to be doing? Am I really having that balanced life? How many of you know driving? Most of you all I know. Do anybody know a particular art of balancing, juggling, or walking on a rope, or something like that? May not be. Yeah. Actually, this is an art. Okay, come back to the driving because it's the most of you all do know driving. The first time when you take your car out on the road, maybe on a highway, how do you feel? Just straight after you learned your basic things, basic driving, you know, and then you take your car out, you're still not very good in your balancing. How do you feel? And after so many years of driving, now how do you feel? Now you can drink your tea, you can talk, listen to your music, you can still see in the rear glass, you can... It's so natural. Because you have a perfect balance on every clutch or your accelerator or your brake or your steering or whatever. So you have total control over the car. You can balance it. You can take your vehicle straight on the road, wherever it is prescribed to be taken. You see? And we also know the laws. Oh, this is the signal, stop here, and that is there, go slow, and this is there. So we know. I can balance it. So I enjoy driving. And once I win over, you know, I conquer that balance, then the driving becomes joy. The fear doesn't exist anymore. You're not afraid of the vehicles that's coming from opposite directions anymore. Now, in our spiritual path, a little thing comes and we stop. A rat comes, a cat comes, and another thing comes. Even a little ant comes, a cockroach comes, I stop. I have a big vehicle I'm taking on the road, but a very little thing comes and I stop. And I stop sometimes for a long time, wondering how to overcome this. So there is somewhere I lack the balance in my life. As a result, I'm not experiencing that blissful state of mind. Yes, we all have peace. We are all happy in the spiritual life. Yeah? You're all happy in the spiritual life? No? No? Very sad? Ah, not again. So cold and 3 o'clock in the morning. And shower, come to the class, sit here, and again the 1 hour Murli, and then that and this, I can't eat this and I can't eat that, I can't go there, I can't go. Oh man, where am I? Anytime you get that thought? More Maya ever since I came here. No Maya before. But ever since I came to Baba, lot of Maya. Lot of problems. Before no problems, now more problems. You feel that? And sometimes also we say Baba, we ask Baba, Baba, why don't you give me power? I am your child, no? I belong to you. Why I get all these problems? Why me alone? I was happy before. Why am I getting? Why don't you help me? You know, many times we have a very funny conversation with Baba, and all of us know what type of conversation we all, you know, have with Baba. Although we have left that path of devotion and we are here in the spiritual path where we with a lot of authority we say, yes, I have found God, but still, we behave more like a devotee. We talk to God more like a devotee. We still have that devotional sanskaras in us. And we talk to Baba like a devotee. Please, Baba, why don't you give me? Please, why don't you, Baba, do that? And that and this and the way. Yeah, I am your child, but you know, you don't have body, but I have body. If you would have had a body, you would know what it means to have a body. It's very easy for you to say become bodiless because you don't have body at all. I have body, I've been having body for 84 births. How can I become bodiless? You don't even know what it means to have a body, but I do. And I've been collecting all the sanskaras from 63 births. I also have the burden of that. Baba, you don't understand what I'm going through. So we all have such funny, you know, conversation with Baba many times, I'm sure, yes. But again, we lack the right knowledge, recognizing who I am, recognizing what this knowledge is, recognizing who has given me this knowledge. I am so fortunate to have this knowledge. and the power of this knowledge. People get knowledge, new knowledge, so that they will be able to solve their problems. They will get some benefit. They will be liberated from unhappiness, peacelessness. You see, there are many difficulties, problems that they face every day. But the new knowledge or new technique, what they get, what they acquire, it could be information that can help them to get rid of those situations. And knowledge is also a way to face situations because I have knowledge. But the knowledge what we have, this is I'm talking about the knowledge outside, what people acquire. Say for example, your computer got hung. I have no knowledge how to deal with it, but an expert who has the knowledge about it will come and he just sit right. For him it's not a big deal. But there is some problem in big, you know, machineries or whatever. The person who has the knowledge will come and repair and go away. So knowledge is there to resolve the problems. Get liberated from it. But there are so many knowledge, type of information, knowledge in the world outside. But the knowledge that God gives has everything in it. Once we take this knowledge, we don't have to go for any other knowledge in the world. The entire worldly knowledge is also merged in this. You see? If you go to a university, they have different branches. You know, history, psychology, philosophy and blah blah blah, many branches of studies, of knowledge. But here, there is one knowledge that Baba gives. It has everything. And once we take this knowledge, we don't need any other knowledge. Because this is the knowledge that will liberate us from everything. They might provide a little solution for short time, but no knowledge in the world can ever liberate us from the problem forever and ever. Even if you go to medical doctor and they will only give us some medicine, but they will not cure us from the disease. Yeah? They say, I treat, but God cures. I can't cure a disease because human being. So the knowledge which we are getting is not human knowledge in the first place. It's God's knowledge. So we are so fortunate that we are getting this God's knowledge. People have different types of knowledge, but they don't know. Say for example, history. They would talk about ages ago, 400 years ago, BD, AD, CD. So-and-so came and so-and-so went and so-and-so fought. But nobody in the entire world knows what will happen to a soul after it leaves the body. Where did the soul come from? What will happen in the next birth? What was my previous birth? Nobody would know. But with this knowledge, Baba, what? The knowledge Baba has given, we have answers for all the questions. So when we have the importance of the knowledge, who is giving us? What is this knowledge? And if we really study this knowledge properly, Baba says you will become the masters of the world, you will become the rulers, you will become a deity from a human, you will become the highest on the high, the perfect human beings. Is there any knowledge in the world which can make a person divine, perfect, human to a deity? Yeah? So when we have this knowledge completely, understand its importance and have that intoxication that Almighty God Himself has given me this knowledge, then I will be able to speak the knowledge to others with that conviction. And very importantly, it's not adequate that I have knowledge, but do I believe it? Like, sometimes it happens, I know knowledge, I know in and out of knowledge, when a problem comes, do I really have faith that all that is happening with me is very good? It is according to Dharma. So what a big deal. Because there are two levels of knowledge, any knowledge in the world outside. One is the theory knowledge and one is the applied knowledge. One is the theoretical science and one is applied science. When I go to the laboratory, you know, practically to do the experiments, that's a different story. But when I have to sit in the classroom, write the notes, that's a different story. Hydrogen plus oxygen is equal to do. That's a different thing. But when I go into the lab, I should know what is oxygen, where is hydrogen, how much, what is the proportion of mixing hydrogen with oxygen and what will the outcome. So am I really having that faith? Yes, whatever Baba says is good. Dharma is good for me. Whatever is happening with me is okay. Something lost, it's Dharma, I can smile. Because I believe, what I know, one level. Another thing is I believe what I know. I trust. Because I know who God is, I believe Him, I trust Him. You know something very interesting? If I say I trust a person, it means I love him, I love that person. If you say I love but I don't trust, it's not love. It's not trust either. Love and trust always goes hand in hand. You see? So when I say I love God, Baba, you're my everything, do I also trust Him? Can I give my hand blindly and say, yes, my hand is in your hand? I trust you. Take me wherever you would like to. I have very good intellect, good intelligence, wise. I'm very wise. I have a lot of wisdom. But when it comes to trust in God, I surrender my intellect to God because I trust Him. When I'm talking to people, I have to talk with that faith, you know, service. Serve others means give others. Now, I will be able to give others when I have no experience. How will I be able to give? If I don't know in and out of knowledge, if I don't know the depth of knowledge, you know, many times, I'm sure you might also have seen Brahmins speaking the knowledge, using the terminologies like karmatit, bodiless, blah, 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 you know, big words. But many a times they would not really know what it means. Yes, they might also know the definition, but what I mean to say is they wouldn't know what it actually tastes like. Describe what it means to be bodiless. Yes, to put them in words, you could say it's out of, you know, it's just to be detached from the body. But is that all? Or something more deeper? what it means to have the taste of it. Most of us don't know that, because we haven't experienced, because we haven't given time in applying knowledge, in experimenting it, in experiencing it. You know, very interesting thing in this university is that Baba says this is university, this is also a spiritual gathering, this is hospital, yeah, hospital come university. But there are many, many spiritual gatherings outside where Guru would give a mantra and that's it. Only and only Guru will have a right to give a mantra. Nobody else can have a right to give mantra. And there will be hundreds and thousands sitting in the gathering. They're all just followers. In the sense they are part of the audience. I wouldn't even say they're followers, but they're a part of, they belong to that organization, that's it. And except that Guru who's sitting up there, nobody else in the audience or the followers have a right to tell that mantra, whisper in somebody's ear. In fact, they would say, you don't tell this mantra to anybody. If you're going to disclose, its power will go away. So you will lose its charm. So people are afraid, so hide it. But here in this spiritual gathering, after 1 month, after 15 days of knowledge, they start opening a Gita Pachala. They start giving knowledge. Baba says, go ahead, go. They finish the course, they begin to give course to others. There are so many of them, as they take the course, they come every day, listen to the knowledge, you know, take the course, they go home and teach somebody. So this is very easy. Baba would not stop. And many, many Brahmins, as soon as they come into knowledge, after some time, they become very enthusiastic in doing service. They would love to give knowledge to others. How many of you like to do service? All the Brahmins, because this is one of our subjects. So, we all do service. But the success lies in that balance. When I have no experience of what I'm speaking, there's no success. Yes, it's nice, I'm getting habituated, but it will not really touch somebody's heart. It would not stay in their heart. It would not, the knowledge will not retain. You know, one or two lines what Dadi speak, many times that just stays in the heart. In those days, in the beginning, in 70s, when we all came in knowledge, it was in 70s, Baba used to speak each one of us, you know, feed, give toli in the mouth, and give drishti, give blessings, and again give drishti, and talk to, you know, it was more like a, so that one line, you know, of blessings and whatever Baba used to speak, after ages, even after ages, it would stay. It's in the heart. We will never forget. Our seniors, whatever they speak, maybe one line, maybe a word they would speak, it would retain. It's because they have half that balance. They have that balance. They have that, you know, balance in all the four subjects. So if I have to be a successful Brahman, even leave alone Brahman, even otherwise, to be successful, any field in our life, this is very, very important. Yes, I'm speaking, you know, many a times what happens is that many Brahmins are very much into doing service anywhere. They do whole night. They're very, very busy in doing that one, making newsletter, doing that, different types of services. They can do night and day. And so early in the morning they wake up and then they straight go to the computer, straight go to their service, or maybe even if it is going to be in the kitchen, whatever, straight do this and straight, they can do continuously, tirelessly. But straight after I wake up, I come to the service. After some time, gradually what happens? I get tired. I get tired of the service, one time which I was enjoying. Sometimes it becomes burden. All that I'm making, I'm doing, might become a burden for me. I might feel it's too much for me because I don't have yoga. I have not given it some time for myself to charge myself. I didn't pay attention to the knowledge what Baba wants to tell me today. I haven't paid attention to the Murli Baba is going to tell me today. God wants to talk to me. I am not paying attention to what God wants to talk to me today. And I haven't talked to God. I didn't sit in meditation, talk to Baba, have that experience to be with Him. And straight I'm coming to the service. And I start doing service. So tell me, how long will this go on? Even if you are going to drive a car, after some time, you'll stop the car. You have to fill the car with fuel. You have to wash it. You have to give some rest. Yeah? Same thing. You can't continuously, without no break, no fuel, no cleaning, no. You can't keep driving a car, can you? After some time, the car cannot work anymore. Same thing with us. Yes, I might be speaking very nice, very good knowledge, but I don't have good dharana. You know, dharana also has a very, very important role in what I'm speaking, what I am. I might speak very high knowledge, but when it comes to my personal life is not so very good. And so, eventually when people come to know that this person who speaks of such high knowledge, his personal life is not so very nice, they will not appreciate the knowledge anymore. Many times Baba used to talk about a pandit. Huh? You remember a pandit story? Yeah? There used to be a pandit. It was a little small village. And a learned pandit. Pandit means a learned person. A scholarly type of person. Very learned. There used to be a small hut as he used to go to his place, hermit-like place, and a very innocent mother, you know, would live in that hut. And she had to cross a little river to go the other side every time, even if she has to buy something, cross and cross back that, you know, little river. And one day she happened to meet that pandit and said, "Pandit, I had to cross every time this little river." He said, "What a big deal. Every time you cross the river, you take the name of God. You say Rama Rama and you will be able to cross the river because in the name of God has so much of power. God's name has so much strength that you could cross the river. No big deal." She really believed what he said. And she every day take God's name. She used to be lost in the name of God and she would not even realize that she has already crossed the river. So this is how every day she made a habit of crossing the river from here to there. And one day she was so much impressed by the Pandit, she said, "You have to come to my house for lunch. I'm inviting you for lunch." He said, "Okay, I will come to your house for lunch." So it was time for him to go. And he said, "Where is the boat? How will I go to your house? I'm waiting here for such a long time. You didn't arrange a boat. So how will I cross the river and come to your house for lunch?" She said, "Well, you taught me a mantra to take the name of God and you can cross easily. Now why do you need a boat? Why don't you take name of God and cross?" He said, "That was only for you. But for me, I need a boat." You see? Well, that person, what he speaks and what he is doing, they're two different things. There are many spiritual organizations, religious organizations in the world outside, and almost all religious organizations emphasize on dharana, to inculcate good things. But nobody really tells the way or have that authority to really make a person imbibe those values. Say, for example, when we came here, the first thing Baba said, pure life. Be yogi, be pure. The four pillars of yoga, one of the four pillars of yoga says you have to inculcate celibacy. If you have to have a yogi life, if you have to practice yoga, if you really would like to have the deeper experience in yoga, celibacy is the most important thing. And Baba talked to us openly about this, and we all agreed. And now it is so natural for us. Yes? But people in the world outside, there are many religious organizations, but nobody ever emphasizes you have to follow celibacy if you want to be this. You see? They just read out, like in Gita, in other maybe spiritual or religious scriptures, they say lust and anger are the greatest enemies, it will take you towards the hell and its gateway to hell, etc. But nobody says you don't indulge in vice. Nobody says that. When Baba said, that was a new thing. Now why did all that big fight and, going to the court and anti-party against the Brahma Kumaris organized, Om Mandali, all that began is because of purity. Because Baba said straightly, celibacy is the most important thing. Because it is this wise, the lust is the biggest enemy, and it is this wise that brings in all other vices. He said straight. So the celibacy is the primary thing for a Raja Yoga or to be a yogi. So then that was a new thing for people. People said nobody told us so far, because they have no power, no authority to say this, because they themselves indulge in vice. You see, these even deities had kids and all that stuff. They tell many stories, they quote and they say, "Oh, this is how the life is." But Baba says, "No, that is not the life." People talk about non-violence. There are so many movements in the world, outside talking about non-violence. But Baba says anger is a big violence. The cause of all, big violence outside, up until, talking about the people go to war, battles, bombs, and all the explosive things to destroy the world. It is all because of anger. So the biggest crime or biggest violence is anger, hatred, jealousies. Baba says, renounce that. The first day we come to Baba, we were taught that. We are all taught that, yeah? So unless and until I don't practice this, if I don't have that balance, then I can't be successful in my Brahman life. Because then I become like a pandit, what I speak and what I'm doing, they are two different things. If somebody come to you and say, my child is very, very, you know, disobedient, don't listen to me, I get very angry, what would we advise? I am the owner of a company. There are 150 people working under me. If I don't get angry, if I don't, you know, become bossy, they don't listen to me, they don't obey me. So what should I do? What will we advise? Yes, yes, continue to be angry. Be bossy, it's nice. They are not going to listen. So you can also hit them. Take a cane, you can hit them. Do we say that? You know, I'm sure many of them come to the center having such new students or new Baba's children ask such questions, who come for course. So what do we advise? We say, if they get angry, you be peaceful. Peace is a power. Action speaks louder. More action is more powerful than the words. If somebody is shouting, getting angry, but I'm in my peaceful state of mind, really, it's not that superficial peaceful, but really I remember I am a peaceful soul, this soul is influenced. So I give good wishes to this soul. This soul is controlled by the evil spirit of anger. So I should give him good wishes. If I remember that and if I practice that, this speaks more powerful, louder. Then if I'm going to say, please be quiet, don't get angry, please be quiet, no, he will get more angry. Or if you're going to say, Om Shanti, don't get angry, Om Shanti, they will get more angry. You see? And so Baba says, the dharana, to inculcate what Baba says, inculcate the knowledge, is very, very important before I speak out. Otherwise, then I'm not a real or complete Brahman. You see? Every day we do meditation, don't we? Early in the morning, evenings, every day we do meditation. But ask let us each of us ask ourselves, what is my stage of experience? Do I really experience every time I sit in meditation? Or do really pass the time? I just wait for 7:30 to finish so that I can go for lunch. I get, French fries and nice things, and I can't just wait to. Or I can have to, it's very cold, I have to just go into my quilt quickly. Or really I give that time, I'm giving the time anyway, but am I really successful? Am I using that time worthwhile? You see? So it's very important for me. Mama always used to say, it is very important to also have knowledge about knowledge. Gyan kabhi gyan. I have knowledge, but do I really have the knowledge of knowledge? You know, the knowledge, the practice, the life what we all have, it's not as simple as it seems to be, actually. It's very deep. It's simple though, it's very simple, but it's very deep. Every word of knowledge, if we start thinking, churning, it can go for a long time. I'm sure you might have seen in the libraries the volumes of books about religious books or any books for that matter. How a simple sentence, a simple formula, a simple maybe nice thing, you know, simple thought, they could create volumes and volumes. I went in a long ago, I think 25, 30 years ago, in an one of the religious organization that invited for a lecture. And I was amazed when that person said, and he showed me, 12 volumes of this thick books about the meaning of Om. I said, what? Baba never taught us this. He taught us so simple. Om means I am a soul. Simple. But the way he was explaining for 45 minutes to an hour what it means by Om. And when it was my turn, I was wondering, he spoke so much, you know, so lengthy, lengthy, lengthy. People think churn, because you get so much, they churn, but it has no sense. Even the 45 minutes, 1 hour, all the volumes of books they have, has no sense, it has no meaning. It doesn't lead us, take us to anywhere. But one little word, a straight to the point what God says, children, Om means you are a soul. And the most important thing is I need to be a soul. All the description has no value. The volumes and volumes of book has no meaning if I don't become that. If that is not going to help me in any way to make my life better, to have a better experience. But it's a straight thing, Baba said, you are a soul. You are, that is what you are. You are not this body at all. This only came few years ago. But you were soul, you are soul, you will be a soul because you are a soul. You are eternal being. So simple. So unless and until we don't apply and have that conviction in what I learn, then I can't express it to others with that conviction. You see? Every time I face certain situations or difficulties, I have to apply this. Now why do I have this knowledge for? It is not that I come here, go to the center, listen to the Murali, go home and I'm back to square one. My behavior is same as it used to be always before. And my way of action, my way of thinking, my way of interacting with people is always the same it used to be. But I have to apply this, use it in my life every day. That's more important. Every day we are given, you know, we are served food. Unfortunately, I'm not eating. I come every day to the dining area. I'm served with, you know, beautiful different types of dishes, but I'm not tasting, eating at all. So why my hunger remains always? I walk to the place, I walk back, hungry. So I'm here for whatever period of time, maybe 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, or whatever time period I'm in Baba's knowledge, I'm with Baba, how full I am. How much I've attained, and it's retained in my being, that is what is more important. Am I tasting it? Routines with me. Do I walk the knowledge? I talk definitely. I talk knowledge. Do I walk knowledge? Do I live that is more important? So unless and until I don't have the balance in these aspects and apply them in my life, in day-to-day life, my Brahman life is not successful. Just before I finish, can I ask you a question? Yeah? Any time in Brahman life, even once, have you ever regretted? Did you regret? Why did I come to Baba? It could have been even just a second or once, maybe after you'd have thought, what am I thinking? It's a stupid way of, thinking. But did that thought come at all? If yes, very dangerous. Very dangerous. Om Shanti. So, we have 1 hour meditation. Just put your things back. Let us sit relaxed. And let us give ourselves an aim. Aim to experience every virtue God has, every power He has, it's power. It's very, very powerful. Either it could be God's love, peace, it could be bliss, it could be happiness. Everything is out of world experience. So please make it a point to sit here for an hour and to have an aim to have an experience of one thing or the other. Not just talk and think in the mind, but to feel it. To feel it, to be that. To get lost in it. That is the beautiful life. Rather, essence of Brahman life. Om Shanti.